Patriots so far this season. Two of them were actually close. So the major question that I am going to pose to Patriots Nation today is this. Who and what exactly is the New England Patriots in 2021? If you got thoughts, call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Hit me up on Twitter if you're listening, at Shukri Wright, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. It is now 11 o'clock. We are officially beginning the second hour of the program. And we're starting the second hour talking Patriots. They got a big one against the Dallas Cowboys, who are 4-1. And even the Cowboys, you look at and you kind of have an idea. Yes, they're 4-1. Best start that they've gotten off to since the 2016 season. That was Dak Prescott's rookie season. But even then, I have question marks as it pertains to that team. But you actually have an idea as to who and what that team is. That's the thing that's hilarious. And one way that I look at it, as far as the Cowboys go, is that they are a passing team. Ezekiel Elliott is a running back that hasn't been the same over the course of the last 2 years, but this season, he has shown signs that he is at least coming somewhat closer to breaking out into his old form, and that is the guy that ran downhill into contact and was able to follow lead blocks and gain huge yards on the ground. But currently, you look across the field and you look at the Patriots, what's the run game looking like? Is Damian Harris going to look okay? Is he going to be okay? If he plays on Sunday, how is he going to look? Because he's been banged up. So, if you are the Patriots right now, and I'm going to circle back to the question right now to really focus on this particularly. Who is the 2021 New England Patriots? Are they the team that played an okay game against the Jets and won their game from comfort behind fashion against the Houston Texans? Or is this a Patriots team that lost narrowly to Miami, lost narrowly to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the defending Super Bowl champions, and they got their behinds handed to them at home against the New Orleans Saints? But here's something that I find to be absolutely stunning for a Bill Belichick coach team. They haven't won a home game yet. Both of their wins have come on the road. They're 0-3 at home, but 2-0 on the road. This is not good. Their wins came against the Texans and the New York Jets. The three losses against Tampa Bay, against New Orleans, and against the Miami Dolphins. What does that tell you? There's something inherently wrong with this team. And you know what's funny? On Sunday, I was tweeting during the game, watching the game live and tweeting about it, as I've come to do during this 2021 season. And one of the things that I really talked about was that there is something very inherently wrong with this team. I don't think that this is as simple as, well, it's the early season struggles. No. Their defense absolutely is atrocious. They're soft. S-A-W-F-T. Soft. They are absolutely being pushed around like little gremlins on the playground by bullies. This is a defense that has no identity right now. And don't even get me started on the secondary. You could put up 700 yards If you had a Peyton Manning-led offense against the Patriots secondary right currently now, that's how bad the secondary is and has been for the New England Patriots. They are actually in the bottom third of the league in terms of passing yards per game. They're bad defensively. Offensively, I'm starting to really, and I do mean really, have qualms, concerns, aggravations, if you will, with Josh McDaniels. Because I look across the NFL, and I look at situations, different situations with young quarterbacks. I look at Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. I look at like Justin Fields in Chicago. I look at even you can look at the Reds to some degree. Justin Herbert with the Chargers, for example. I look at those guys and I look at the play callers on the sidelines and I say, you know, those guys, they trust their quarterback. They trust their quarterback. As far as the New England Patriots go, I don't get that vibe with Bill Belichick or Josh McDaniels. I look at John Harbaugh in Baltimore, and I see a head coach who absolutely turns to Lamar and say, hey, bud, what do you want to do in this situation? Hey, coach, let's go for it on 4th-and-2. Okay, cool. I trust you. Let's get it done. Justin Herbert, oh, it's 2nd-and-7. You're at the opponent's 45-yard line. What do you want to do? Let's throw the ball. Okay, coach. Okay, Justin, I got you. Throw the ball down the field. Force the ball down the field. Not into interceptions, but Herbert is actually one of the best quarterbacks in the league when it comes to passes of 20-plus yards. And I look at Justin Fields. Yes, he's young. He's a rookie. But I look at the head coaching situation in Chicago, and I look at Justin Fields, and I say, your head coach is starting to trust you. Huh. But why not here in New England? Do you get that same kind of trust and reliability from Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels? Why? Because if we're going to be totally honest, your quarterback has not been the problem. Your quarterback play overall has not been the issue. My issue with the Patriots this season is not with Mac Jones, because Mac Jones has done everything that you've asked him to do. But I don't see or get the sense that the Patriots are entrusting Mac Jones to take the reins when the offense is on the field. I don't get that sense at all in all of the 5 games that I've watched this season. 5 games, 4 quarters, that's 20 quarters of football that I now can go back and look and watch and see that there's a difference between how a head coach and an offensive coordinator trust its quarterback versus a team that is babying and being conservative offensively with its young rookie quarterback. I see the difference. The difference is night and day. And I look at the Patriots and I wonder, at what point do you draw the line of demarcation in terms of who you are and what you are as a team? Because this team doesn't have an identity at all. If they have an identity, it hasn't shown, it hasn't manifested itself onto the football field as of yet. If you have any thoughts, call in 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636, excuse me. There's an article that was written via the Boston Herald today. I'm going to read you a significant excerpt from this article. And this article was written by Karen Garigian, excuse me if I botched up her last name, Karen Garigian of the Boston Herald. This is what was written. This was written today at 5:45 or published at 5:45 in the morning. So on BostonHerald.com. 5 games into the season, it's fairly obvious what you're going to get from the Dallas Cowboys, who are headed to Gillette Stadium to tangle with the Patriots. Sitting at 4-1 after blowing out the bad teams and splitting against the good, they're clearly contenders. All of the evidence smacks you right over the head. They're a very good football team. The Patriots? A 2-3 record suggests they're just the opposite. But defining exactly who they are isn't quite as clear as the Cowboys. While Bill Belichick typically has a pretty good idea about his team at this stage, they're harder to nail down right now. The evidence is just so scattershot. They went toe-to-toe with last year's Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, nearly winning the game and holding Tom Brady without a touchdown pass. That performance was encouraging. But they've also lost to the 1-4 Dolphins at home. That was week one. And had a life and death struggle with the Texans, one of the worst teams in football. So, who are they? Quote, "We're still trying to figure each other out," linebackers coach Gerard Mayo said Tuesday. In saying that, there have been stretches where I'd say we've played decently, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but we definitely have a long way to go. We have to get better. But will they? I think that that whole chunk of piece of that article that I just read on the air, excellent and very eloquently puts the state of the New England Patriots in 2021. In fact, Gerard Mayo really said it best. I want to reread to you that quote if you're just joining in. "We're still trying to figure each other out. In saying that, there have been stretches where I'd say we played decently, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But we definitely have a long way to go. We have to get better." He's right. There have been stretches very far and in between where the team overall played well. But here's the problem. Consistency. You're not getting consistency out of the run game. The passing game at times, and I do mean at times, minus the drop passes, minus the passes going in between the hands of receivers and into the opposing team, they have been absolutely inconsistent. There's no other way to put it. Defensively, your best defensive player on the front seven is Matt Judon. He has been an absolute beast this season so far. But as far as the secondary goes, woof. That secondary has been absolutely putrid. But they came back to beat the Texans. Okay. I don't know how you possibly could feel really good about the Patriots' performance against the Texans. Yes, a win is a win, but as a lot of you Patriot fans showed me on Sunday when I was tweeting about how I just don't feel good about this team, about this win, a lot of you were chirping. And even more so when I tweeted out that if the Patriots lose this game, that Bill Belichick should be on the hot seat. And man, when I tell you that the trolls came out of the woodworks, they came out the woodworks. "Are you crazy? This man has coached his team to 6 wins as head coach. He's the greatest head coach of all time." Oh, okay. So I guess we're going to completely ignore the fact that he has not drafted well when it came to the skill position players, and also that he allowed the greatest quarterback of all time out the door in hopes of rebuilding this team and drafting a new quarterback of the future. Meanwhile, the old quarterback that you allowed to walk out the door had, you know, no big deal, went to Tampa and won the Super Bowl in his first season there, right? Oh, okay. I just want to make sure that I'm not tripping. That's all. That is all I ask for. So, it's a big game on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. They win this game, they're 3-3, and honestly, they're right there for the playoff race. But they lose this game. Now, I think the definitive answers can begin to come out, especially after six games, if the Patriots lose and they're sitting at 2-4, you could say that this is not a good team. You could say that. But right now, it's really a mixed bag, depending on how you look at it. That's why I wholeheartedly agree with this article that was published today in the Boston Herald by Karen Gurigan, in which that you just don't know what to make of this team. Like, how could you at this point in juncture? I don't know. If you have any thoughts or takes as it pertains to the New England Patriots as to where they are currently, you can call in the 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Coming up next, it's befitting that I do this, but with 2 days before the NHL regular season begins for your Boston Bruins, I figured that it's time to give you a little bit of my personal season in review, or season preview, I should say. That and much more coming up right next up on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Shukri Wright, you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
help but wondering if this is the last time that I'll see your face. Is it tears or just fucking rain? Wish I could say something, something that doesn't sound insane. But lately I don't trust my brain. You tell me I won't ever change, so I just say nothing.
Welcome back to the Sugar Rat Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. During this segment, I am going to be talking Bruins. We talked Patriots during the last segment. Now I'm going to talk some Patriots as well and give you a little bit of a preview. Now, Monday, I will be talking Celtics on Monday, along with, you know, looking back on everything that'll take place over the weekend and whatnot. But especially want to touch on, like, the COVID situation with the Celtics and so forth. And one of the things that I am most looking forward to in regards to the Celtics' upcoming season is the expectations are not very high for the Celtics. And like, there are a lot of question marks surrounding the 2021-22 Boston Celtics. I'll be touching on that on Monday. But for right now, Bruins, their season starts in 2 days. Two more days. And I'm pumped. I'm pretty excited. And there's a lot of anticipation going into the new season for the Boston Bruins. What the team was going to look like. You know, like, how will they fare given the turnover and the losses and so forth that they've endured personnel-wise from last season to this season. All of those things. But the one thing that I'm most curious about is how will the Bruins do in terms of its bottom six lines, secondary scoring? I'm not necessarily worried about I'm not worried about the top line. I mean, the top line is going to do what the top line has always done, and that's score. They're going to score. I have no doubts in my mind about that whatsoever. But what I am most concerned about is the bottom six. What can you realistically expect from the Boston Bruins in regards to the bottom two lines, the third and the fourth line? Because if there's one thing that I've learned in watching the preseason, I really have liked a lot what I've seen from the line in which that Nick Foligno played on alongside with Eric Halla. I do think that they have looked really good at times. In fact, some of the things that has stood out to me is the chemistry that has developed during preseason. And I watched a couple of the games live in person. I was there in person to watch the Bruins play. And I was curious to see how that third line was going to look between Eric Halla, Nick Foligno, and as well as like Thomas Nosek and so forth. And one of the things that has stood out to me is that like it just seems like that Nick Foligno in particular, that he's got some jump. He's got some jump when he's on the ice, when he's attacking and so forth. In fact, the one thing that I really liked from Foligno so far is that he's really, and I do mean really, made his impact like fully and clearly like on this team. And it's one of the things that I wondered about when we began training camp back in early mid-September, and that is, how are the new guys going to fit in? And you talk about, for example, Derek Forbort, Eric Halla, Nick Foligno. How are the guys going to fit in? How are they going to gel into the Brewers locker room? And I think about this often. When you talk about the roster, you look at what this team like brings forth and so forth. But one of the things that has stood out to me is when you talk about guys, for example, like Craig Smith in that second line, Craig Smith, Taylor Hall, and Charlie Coyle, that line is going to be so important this season that I don't think it's possible to like overstate just how important that line is going to be in terms of the offense. And I believe that one of the things that we are going to talk about, especially as the season goes along, is the bottom six. What can you realistically expect? I think Carson Kuhlman is going to be very important on that fourth line in terms of playing a gritty game, playing a solid forecheck, and all of those things. You can call in if you want to talk Bruins at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. If we were to go and look deeper into like, for example, where does this team stand in terms of the goaltending? Because that's another concern that I do have. The goaltending. I do wonder, how will the goaltending hold up in the absence of Tuukka Rask? Because Rask right now, he's rehabbing from surgery that he had during the offseason. And I wonder this, even as I sit here in this chair this morning, you've had Tuukka Rask as the one sure thing over the course of the last 8-9 years with the Boston Bruins. For the first time since who knows when, you're not even sure as to what you're going to get in net. What can you realistically expect? And I do think about whether if this is something that for example, that the goaltending is going to impact the upcoming season's outcome in terms of, in a very competitive division, how are they going to do? How are they going to be able to remain afloat in a division that is going to be very tight from beginning to end? And I don't think because of the losses in which that the Bruins have endured, you know, obviously with David Krejci going to the Czech Republic and as well as Tuukka Rask missing significant time to start the season due to surgery and whatnot. I do think and I do wonder that when you look in the division, you look at the Atlantic in particular, you look at Toronto, you look at Montreal, you look at Tampa Bay, who are the four teams that you think is going to absolutely for sure going to sneak in? In fact, there's three teams and then the two wild cards. Your top three teams in the Atlantic, I honestly think it's going to be Tampa Bay, it's going to be Toronto, and Boston and Montreal will fight it out for the third and final spot in the top three. But they are going to have some major questions that they're going to have to answer. And I do think that one of the things that's going to stand out to me is the goaltending and as well as the secondary scoring. I can't emphasize just how important it is going to be for the Boston Bruins moving forward, especially if they continue to have the issues that they've had during the last two seasons in particular with the secondary scoring. It's going to be fascinating to see how this all unfolds, especially as the season begins in 2 days. And I do think that the Boston Bruins find themselves in an interesting road right now. The next clip I'm going to play you is a conversation that Bruins president and alternate governor Cam Neely had with the press just a couple of days ago. In fact, this is what he had to say, and I want to play that clip for you in just a moment. All right, here it is. This is the 2-minute, 55-minute clip that Cam Neely did. He did a presser with the Bruins media just yesterday. So here we go. Do we have it yet? It's still taking its time loading, so it should be wrapping up just rather soon. It looks like we finally have it running. Do we? No. Okay. So until we're able to get that clip up and going, but nearly one of the things that he did say is that he didn't have any major concerns coming out of training camp, but they would like to see more reps from Linus Ullmark between the pipes and as well as Charlie Coyle, especially as the second line center and so forth. And I agree with him when he said that, quote, that I still think that we need to flush out what maybe the bottom part of the lineup looks like. Is Charlie Carter going to be able to mesh well with Taylor Hall and Craig Smith? That's going to be the big question. And so forth. But it remains to be seen, like, as to... Oof. Man. Well, it looks like this computer is freezing up, but I digress. But anyway. But Omar needs those reps, regardless. He absolutely needs the reps in terms of being able to get comfortable, because he did not have a good preseason at all. In fact, there are times I wish that I thought he was actually quite shaky. And it showed. So I do wonder, in most particularly, as to what the Bruins are going to do in terms of Linus Omark, and as well as especially the defense in front of him. What's the blue line going to look like in terms of the pairings? Because I would really hate for the Bruins to leave him hanging out to dry. And Omar can't make the saves that he needs to make because his defense in front of him is not doing the job that they need to do. Coming up next, I'm going to have the final segment of the program, final thoughts. Here with you on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Form Radio.
Was a little girl afraid of the big white world. She grew up within her castle walls. Now and then she tried to run, and then on a night with the setting sun, she went in the woods away, so afraid, all alone. They warned her, don't go there, there's creatures. Let me in, ooh. Everything you
I'd still have me, I can't lose. When you say that you're obsessed with me, me too.
Falling for you, falling for you, falling for you.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free Form Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Strike the Box is coming up next with Chris Major from 12 noon to 2 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. So it's time for my final thoughts, which we got about 5 minutes remaining in the program. If you got any thoughts, call me now or forever hold your peace. Just kidding. Call me at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Final thoughts. Listen, 9 games tonight on the NHL slate of games to watch. I am going to try to watch all 9. I mean, it won't be possible because I will be busy. I will be busy later tonight, but I'm going to try to watch some of the late games as much as possible. And also, with that being said, Game 5 of the NLDS is tonight at 9:07 p.m. Eastern Time on TBS, ESPN Radio, Dodgers-Giants. Series tied at 2-2, so that's going to be a big one. And of course, how could I forget NFL? Thursday Night Football, right? Defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good matchup. And you talk about another team that's 2-3 right now, and they don't even seem to have much of an idea as to who exactly what they are, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's going to be a good one as well. So final thoughts. Red Sox ALCS begins tomorrow night. So another night where there is not much going on in the world of Boston sports, and I get it. I understand. You're getting restless. You want another championship in Boston because there hasn't been a parade in Boston to celebrate a championship team since technically February of 2019, but that was to celebrate the 2018 New England Patriots that won the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl in February of 2019. So, with that being said, this city, this region is starving for a championship. And the Red Sox begin their quest in round 3? Yeah, round 3. ALCS, game 1, tomorrow night. I will be watching in full. I'll be watching tomorrow night. And let's see what the pitching matchup is going to be. I don't know if the Red Sox have officially announced their pitching matchup for game 1. But I'm actually going to check that right now on MLB.com because the last time I checked, it was not announced. So that's going to be really interesting to see what happens next. So right now, it looks like it could very well be Nathan Eovaldi getting the start for the Red Sox in Game 1. However, and I do mean however, that could change. But we'll see. We will see. There's going to be a lot of really interesting storylines going into this one as it pertains to the Astros. We all know we all know for a fact about their history with the cheating scandal and so forth. And one of the things that I'm going to be most certainly looking forward to is the health of J.D. Martinez and Rafael Devers in the heart of the Red Sox lineup. So that is something that everybody needs to keep an eye out for tomorrow night, Saturday for game 2. And then when the series shifts back to Fenway for game 3, that will be on Monday night. That remains to be seen. So the pitching matchup for game 1 has not been announced yet, but I'm willing to bet that it will be Nathan Eovaldi who gets to start in game 1. But we will see. We'll see what happens as it pertains to that. As far as the Cowboys-Patriots game on Sunday, that's going to be a fascinating matchup as well. We talked about it during the segment earlier this hour, in which that I mentioned that the Patriots, they need to figure out who and what they are. And I wholeheartedly believe that if this is a team that is going to make some sort of a playoff push, they need to win on Monday. They need to start winning games at home. And this Sunday is going to be a big litmus test against a very good Dallas Cowboys team that's coming in at 4-1. And let's face it, Dak Prescott has looked as every bit as impressive as advertised, coming off a gruesome ankle injury that he sustained during the 2020 season. So, that's going to be a big game for the Patriots on Sunday. But right now, the talk of Boston is the Red Sox. Game one, tomorrow night at 8.07 p.m. Eastern Time. This is Shukri Writes, signing off. Coming up next, don't you dare turn that radio dial. Chris Major, Strike the Box, is coming up next. You're listening to the Shukri Writes Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch me from radio. Hit me up on social media on Twitter at Shukri Writes, Instagram on at @SWritesRadio_. I'll talk to you again. In all likelihood, it'll probably be on Monday. But for right now, enjoy the rest of your day. Keep it locked in. Strike the Box is coming up next, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Trade it all, it's not you.